Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Last week, Pastor Gary brought a brilliant word, didn't he? Powerful word about a kingdom mindset. And we want to flow on a little bit with that. But we don't just want to look at that kingdom mindset for our own lives personally. We want to put something in the context of a bigger picture of why we have a kingdom mindset, how that impacts our own lives personally, but also what does that mean in terms of what God is doing now in our nation, in our culture, in our society? What does that mean to live as a kingdom people, as a kingdom person, but also in terms of the bigger picture of what God is doing in the nations? There's a battle going on right now for the nations and God's purposes. And we know that God's in charge. We know he's in control. We know that he looks down at the plans of men and laughs and scoffs. But yet there is a period of time now on the earth where God has given freedom, if you like, for people to do whatever they're doing. And we'll look at one or two scriptures. He's given the enemy certain power to be roaming to and from the earth to do whatever he's doing. But we know there is a day coming when God's going to wrap it all up and bring it all together, and he's going to rule and reign forever, and we're going to be with him. But he wants a lot of other people with him that are not yet with him, that you don't know him at this point. About a year ago, I brought a message on a Sunday morning, spoke it in all the congregations, about what's God looking at? And God is looking at what he doesn't have. And all of us are distracted by the things we don't have. If you go, you know, you can search the internet. You only look at the things on the internet that you don't have. Once you've bought that thing, got that, whatever it is, you don't search the internet anymore for it because you've got it. It's in your life. So why would you go looking at things you've already got? And just as an example, you know, we get distracted by the things we don't have. And if we can put it this way, that God is not just distracted, but God is looking at what he doesn't have. And he doesn't have lost people. And God's eye is on those who don't know him. And he's going looking for them, and he's after them. And he's after them because he has a plan of salvation that he's working out. He wants individuals, but he also wants to impact nations. We live our lives so often in the micro, and what God is doing in our own lives. What's he saying to me? How's he blessing me? What's happening in my life? And how can I be a blessing to others? But also there's a bigger picture of who he's called us to be as a people, who he's called the church to be on the earth now, in this time and in this moment, to do with his purposes. And that we live with a prophetic understanding. We live in a prophetic understanding of the importance of the hour, the importance of the day. And what that means for you and I is the importance of how you and I live moment by moment. The importance of how you and I live in the moment by moment of what goes on in our minds, what goes on in our hearts, what goes on in our lives, what goes on in our relationships, what goes on in our decisions, what goes on in our finances, what goes on in our work world, what goes on in our homes. There's a moment by moment walk that we are living out with God, and your life is important. Your life is part of what God is doing on the earth to release and express his kingdom purposes in a way that he wants to impact people, impact families, impact communities, impact different realms of life. So your life is important. Your life matters in terms of what God is doing. You're not insignificant. What goes on in your mind is not insignificant. What goes on in your heart is not insignificant. What goes on in your home is not insignificant, because your life matters. You're not here to make up the numbers. You're not here by chance. You're not here because God thought it would be a good idea one day just to have you here. God saw you before the beginning of time, before the creation of the world. He called you by name. He picked you out. He handpicked you to be alive right now in 2015, because he's called you to be part of this church. He's called others to be part of other churches. And God is working out his plan and purpose on the earth. And your life matters in this hour, in this day. Therefore, your faith matters. Your prayer matters. Your relationship with God matters, because God wants to reveal who he is, but he reveals who he is through a people who are living with him and walking with him. And so your life matters. Does anybody get a hold of that this morning? Just turn to somebody next to you and say, you're significant in God's purposes. Your life matters. Just tell them that next to you. Just turn to Colossians 1, 13 and 14 for a minute. We're going to look at God's kingdom dominion this morning. Is that okay? God's kingdom dominion in our lives and what that looks like. Flowing on from last week. If we're going to be people who live in God's dominion and what we're going to see that looks like, we need to have a kingdom mindset, which Pastor Gary brilliantly spoke about last week. And I think Pastor Gary's speaking somewhere else. No, he's here. You're here this morning. Yeah, over there. I thought you were in Crawley or Worthing for some reason today. Next week. All right. It's a brilliant word. That was a great word, wasn't it, for Pastor Gary last week? Mate, that was anointed, man. It's brilliant. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. These verses are brilliant. For God, rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, or we have freedom, the forgiveness of sins. Let's just read that again. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Now, in the New Testament, there are two different words for the word dominion, depending on which context is brought in. When it's talking about the dominion of darkness, okay, there's one kind of Greek word used. When it's talking about God's kingdom and his rule and reign, his dominion, there's a different word that is used for dominion when it's to do with God's kingdom. And what Paul is writing here is, for he rescued us from the dominion, or from the control, or the mastery of the dominion of darkness, or the power of darkness. So when he's writing here, he's saying we've been rescued out of the devil's control, the devil's mastery over our lives. And God has brought us out of that kingdom. He's broken the power of the enemy in our lives, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, when you look at God's kingdom, the word for kingdom, the Greek word is the word called basileia, okay? So I haven't just had an epiphany while I've been away. I just thought I'd look at a few different words. But God's word for kingdom is basileia, and that word means his rule and reign in you. Now, when it talks about the dominion of the devil or dominion of darkness, it means control over you. And it means that you are controlled by something that you have no power to defeat. Yet when it talks about God's kingdom, it doesn't talk about his kingdom ruling over you. The word for dominion, when it talks about God's kingdom, is God's rule and reign in you, enabling you to rule and reign. And therefore, he gives you the power to rule over whatever the power of darkness might be going on in life. That's pretty good, isn't it? So he's taken us out of something, a power that we could not overcome, that controlled us and influenced our lives. And he's brought us out of that which had mastery or power over us. And he's now brought us into his kingdom, enabling us to rule and reign in him. And the word dominion, when it talks about God's kingdom, is a word that means power, might, and strength that is full of authority that enables you to live in his sovereignty or his rule to overcome, but to not be overcome. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Am I the only one excited this morning? I know I've been on holiday, but, you know, you can recharge your batteries. I love this. The devil does not have a kingdom. The devil does not have a kingdom. The Bible talks about the dominion of darkness. Now, a dominion is not a kingdom. You can only have a kingdom where there's a king. And the Bible never describes the devil as a king. So he doesn't have a king, but he has been given a realm that he operates in at this moment, and it's called the dominion of darkness. Now, that dominion is still in operation. But the great thing is, when you know God, when you have a relationship with God, when you've surrendered your life to him, you no longer live under that dominion of darkness. You now live in another kingdom, and you're subject to another dominion, And that dominion of God's kingdom has given you power and authority over every power of darkness, over every power of the enemy. Another way that this word basileia, another meaning for this word kingdom, God's kingdom, it means royalty. It means an heir with. You're a joint heir. It means you've become royal in the same way that Jesus is, and you've become an heir with him, ruling and reigning with him. So the context of everything God talks about in this way, his kingdom and his dominion, is what God's doing in you and what he enables you to have. So this word kingdom means you become a royal, you've become royal basically, a son and an heir with Christ. So God's kingdom dominion means what you have on the inside of you that you are now part of, in you and with him. Now, there's another thing. I thought this was brilliant. The root word, if you like, in the Greek for talking about God's kingdom actually means the base or the seat of power. Don't you love that? That God's kingdom is the base. It's the seat of power. And when you talk about the base of something or the seat of power, that means the greatest power and influence flows from that place. And there's nothing that is more powerful than the original, than the seat from the base of power. And it's like what God says is, look, you've come into my kingdom. I put my life in you. You are now connected to the base and the seat of power of who I am. And there's nothing that can overcome you, nothing that can have victory over your life, because you're in me, you're rooted in me, you're seated in me, and you're now seated and rooted in that base of power. My kingdom that's going to go on forever and ever and ever and can overcome everything else. Don't you love the word? Don't you love what God has done? And God wants us to live with a kingdom mindset, a kingdom understanding. Now, in the Bible, the often it talks about the heart and the mind being one thing, heart, mind. So we're going to look at some verses in Ephesians 1 in a few minutes. And it's talking to our heart, mind, because often it doesn't separate the heart and the mind in terms of the mind is separate from an intellectual point of view. Because when the Bible talks about heart, mind, it's speaking about a revelatory way that God speaks that affects your heart, mind. Because when God speaks, he speaks with revelation. And when he speaks with revelation, it impacts your heart, but it also transforms your understanding or your deep-seated thought. And therefore, when you have revelation, it changes your thinking and it changes your heart at the same time when there's revelation that God reveals into our lives. So let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll come to the famous three chairs in a minute. I haven't forgotten about those. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1 in relation to God's kingdom dominion, okay, in our lives. Now, why is this really important? Gary spoke last week about having a kingdom mindset and what's that like? That we're not victims, but we're victors, right? We're not defeated, but we have victory to overcome. And when we use the word and we speak the word and we understand how God works in our lives, then we can live in a victorious way. We can live in a positive way. We can live in an overcoming way. We can live in a way where life looks different to the way that many people see it. Because when we live with a kingdom mindset, we perceive and see things from an eternal perspective, from the way that God sees things and what God is doing. Am I speaking to myself this morning? Or are you guys here? Or are you just listening? Or what? All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking, this is Paul praying for the Ephesians. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So he's praying here for wisdom and revelation, not just for knowledge, but for a revelation of who he is, so that they might know him, so that he might be revealed to them in a fresh way. So he's praying for this revelation of heart, mind, okay? I pray that also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This is the heart, mind bit here. May be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So when he's talking about in heart, mind here, he's talking about, as we've said, this revelation understanding, this deep-seated thought. He's speaking about our heart, mind being flooded with light in this moment. I'm praying that you'll be flooded with light in your life, that you, the deep-seated thoughts in the depth of your being would be enlightened, would be flooded with light. You could say your spirit would be flooded with light in a deep-seated way, in a deep thought way. Deep calls to deep. God speaks into the depths of your life, not just into the mind of your thinking, but he reveals who he is so that we're flooded with light in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us. Now, there's a few things in here that Paul mentions. It's not a list of things, but it's a progression of things that happens in our lives. And Paul is speaking here about the revelation that he wants these Ephesians, and we were there the other day in Ephesus, he's wanting them to grab in the context of a culture that is worshipping all kinds of other gods and is caught up with all kinds of other things. And in the culture that we live in, it's like, if you like, Paul is praying the same things for us if he was here, that in the middle of our culture, in the middle of the challenge of the way life is, society is, he's praying that we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that our heart, mind is flooded with light in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We'll come back to some of these things. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all authority, rule, power, and dominion. The word dominion there is the negative one. Far above every other control and mastery that seeks to take your life. And every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I love what he's saying in these first few verses, because he finishes it at the end by saying that he's appointed Christ to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. So this is where we come into it. But everything he writes before that is that we have a revelation, an understanding of the dynamic of this kingdom dominion and this kingdom life that we have on the inside of us. And he begins to spell it out. He begins to express it, saying, right, I'm praying that you be flooded with light, flooded with revelation, that you would live in the now understanding, the now realization of who God is, what he's done, what he's put on the inside of you, this kingdom life, this kingdom dominion on the inside of you. You'd be flooded with light. You'd be amazed. You'd have this revelation, seeing, so that you would know. Not just in knowledge, but you would know the hope, certain things on their way, the hope that you have been called to, the richness, the lavishness, the abundance, the overflowing life of what it means to be a son and heir, what it means to be royal, to have an inheritance that isn't just available in the next life, but it's available right now, here in the day, today, living as a person who's full of God's kingdom dominion so that we can live as overcomers, so that we can live as people of breakthrough, so that we can live in our culture, in our society, in this generation, and see God work and move and break through in people's lives, to deal with stuff that's going on around us, to deal with things in our own lives, but to be a people who come with the richness of who God is today, not just in the one to come. The richness of his glorious inheritance in the saints. There's an inheritance that we have that is eternal, that we have right now, that is at our disposal right now. And what is that inheritance? Is God's incomparably great power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work in you and I right now this morning. His incomparably great power for those who believe. How many of you believe this morning? That incomparably great power is yours right now. The same power that was exerted when the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is at work now in this room, now in your life. This is part of the inheritance that you have right now. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. So you have this mighty strength on the inside of you right now. How many of you know that living as a Christian has got nothing to do with your feelings? Three people in the room believe that. The rest you're going, oh, I don't know, I don't feel like that this morning. Because we're speaking about things that have got nothing to do with how you feel. When you don't know God, you're living in the dominion of darkness. His power, the devil's power, controls your life, even though you might not realize it. When you live in the dominion of darkness, the power and the mastery of the devil, his influence and power on the world, in society, controls your life. But the Bible says that God has done something to bring us out of the power of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Now, we know over the early part of the year, we did quite a bit on living in the great rest. And what does it mean to live in a moment-by-moment relationship with God? What does it mean to live in the now of who God is, moment by moment? What does it mean to live in a place where you totally trust God in the right now, and that everything you need to know, if you need to know it, he'll let you know. If you don't need to know, that's fine, because he's got everything in hand. Therefore, you can walk with him moment by moment, knowing that he has tomorrow sorted, the next day sorted, the next week sorted, next month, next year, because we live in the now of who God is, not in the tomorrow of who he might be or where we might be, but live in the now of who we are. Live in his rule and reign, his majesty. Live in the power of his kingdom life right now. But then we also looked at sometimes in life, we, when we don't trust God or we don't live in the now of God, we take things on in our own strength and we begin to do things. And this one represents living in self, living in our own self-effort. Our own power, our own understanding, our own wisdom. Whatever self we want to put in front of whatever it is. And then we try and live in our own power. We lose our peace. We lose that intimacy with God because we've said to God, look, it's okay. I know you're sovereign. I know you're Lord. I know you're the creator, but I can handle this one. And it's like, why do we think like that? You know, why? Because there's an area in our life where there isn't that trust. There isn't that relationship. There isn't that revelation knowledge of who he is. And therefore, when there isn't that revelation knowledge, we begin to, instead of saying, Father, would you show me who you are? Would you reveal more of who you are in this moment right now so that I stay in that rest, so that I walk in that with you as you reveal who you are? Sometimes what we do is, well, hang on a minute, I'm not sure about this. So, and we begin to try and do things. We worry, we fear, we get anxious, we get stressed, or it leads to getting stressed and fearful and all that kind of stuff. And we don't live like we used to under the power of darkness, but we live in another dominion. It's called self. And that dominion of self doesn't have the power to have victory over what the enemy seeks to come against us with. So when we move from a place of rest and trust and that moment by moment with God, and we move into a place of fear or anxiety, or I can handle this, or I can do this, or whatever it might be, then we find we lose ground. We don't get victory. We don't overcome in the same way, because in our own power and our own strength, there isn't the ability to overcome, to break through, to get the wisdom, to move forward, to know what God is saying. So the enemy seeks to move us from rest to self, because he knows the power that he used to have over our lives is broken. So what does he try and do? He tries to move us with doubt, fear, unbelief, little this, that, and the other, circumstances, challenges, other people, relationships, this, that, and the other. And he tries to move us where we then get out of sorts with ourselves, out of sorts with people, out of sorts with God. We begin to move and try things in our own ability and strength. And that's when we then begin to get overcome. But the Bible says he's taken us out of that power and we have a different kingdom on the inside of us. So it isn't the place that we live. This is where we're called to live, in this place of rest, which is a place of his kingdom dominion, his kingdom rule and reign, his kingdom sovereignty. Now, the devil has no answer to God's rule and reign. The devil has no answer to God's sovereignty. The devil has no power in your life unless you give it to him. There, you are controlled by it. When we don't trust God and we decide, I'm going to handle this myself, I'm going to do this in my own effort, we move into self and then we get influenced by the dominion of darkness. Not controlled by it, but influenced. And to come back to this place is a point of surrender. God, I surrender fresh to you. And when you move back to this place, that point of surrender, that's when God then begins to speak and reveal, as we heard earlier in the year. But this place of rest, kingdom dominion, is this place of incomparably great power for us who believe. It's like the power, it's the power that work in his mighty strength. What I love about living in the rest is a total well-being on the inside. That when God speaks, faith gets released. When you're in a place of rest, and the place of rest is constantly saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. But constantly saying, thank you that you can. And you can in me. Because it's your kingdom dominion that is inside me. And as I'm saying, God, I can't live this in that. So I choose to surrender to your kingdom dominion, your kingdom rule, your kingdom reign. So I continue to live in what you've given me, in who you've made me. So then when we come to pray, say Wednesday night at the Impact Horsham meeting, if we come as kingdom dominion people, what's going to happen when we pray? It's going to be powerful. There's going to be a release of God. Stuff is going to happen as a result of what we pray. If we see coming to something as a prayer meeting, well, we're just going to go and pray a bit. Well, I don't know who, it might be down to who's leading it and how good, how on it they are on the night or something. But when we come as a kingdom dominion person, knowing this is who I am, this is who God's called to me to be, I'm living in the one who has incomparably great power. I'm living in the one who has mighty strength. I'm living in the one that has exerted all this power and strength. I'm living in the one who has seated me at his right hand in heavenly realms. I'm living in the one who has who is above all rule and authority, power and dominion. I'm living in the one who's won the victory over all of that stuff. Therefore, if I'm living as a kingdom dominion person, no matter how I feel on any given day, no matter what circumstances are going on, no matter what's being communicated in the news and what's going on in our nation or other nations, if I'm living in him as a kingdom dominion person, then I've nothing to fear. Nothing to be anxious about. Nothing to be overtaken by. Nothing to be overcome by. You know, the enemy wants you to think that one day you'll be a better Christian. And one day you'll have it all sorted out. And when you're a bit more mature, then you'll have more victory. Or you just need one more this or one more that before you're really there, you know. But if we understand that living in the great rest is a moment by moment relationship with God, it's not about trying to get somewhere. It's not trying to about, well, one day I'll be more mature, one day I'll be a better Christian. But when I've got that sorted in my life, then I'll be more. Living in one of the great liberating things about living in the rest is you don't have to try to sort anything out. That's what you do over there. And it's hard work, isn't it? Doesn't work. And before we knew God, we were living in it anyway. That's why Jesus came, because he knew we couldn't sort ourselves out and deal with anything. So he had to deal with it all for us, and then it's a gift. So living in the rest is a gift. And what God does in that moment by moment is unpack the gift of who he is and what he's done and what he's doing, what it's all about. He unpacks this gift of his salvation, this gift of his kingdom, this gift of his life, this gift of living in the rest. He unpacks this gift in a moment by moment walk. And the enemy knows if he lives in the rest, if she lives in the rest, if they keep living in that moment by moment, I can't get a hook in them, I can't get undermine them, I can't do this, that and the other, I can't seem to have that same influence on them anymore, because that kingdom mindset's taken root in their life. They understand if they just walk moment by moment with God, I've got no power. No, I can't do anything. Let's just draw this to a close. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, with Jesus' body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So it describes Jesus as the one who has all authority over all this stuff. But yet he says here, God has placed everything under his feet and has appointed him head over everything for the church. So that means whatever is Christ or whatever belongs to him belongs to us. Whatever he is head over, then we have, we are part of, and we partake in. So if he is head over all these things, we have that same access, that same authority, that same overcoming, that same victory, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God's called the church not just to be on the corner somewhere. He's not called the church just to be a bystander. He's not called the church to be a place of religion. He's not called the church to be hidden under a lamp, as he talks about in Matthew 5 and 6. But he talks about the church being a city on a hill. He talks about the church being a light to the world. He talks about the church being salt of the earth. In that moment by moment, walk with him. What he's doing is this kingdom dominion, rule is rising up on the inside of you. His kingdom rule and reign dominion is rising up on the inside of you. Rising up, rising up, rising up. So when you're at home, you can take dominion over stuff that's going on around your lives. You can take authority. I'm not having that in my life. I'm not having that in my family. I'm not having that in my workplace. I'm not having that in the life of the church that I'm part of. I'm not having that, whatever the that is, the negative, whatever it is, I'm not having that in my relationships. I am not having that. It's amazing the power and the authority that God has given us. We abdicate it when we try to do things in our own strength. But when we live in the rest, the authority and the power that you and I have in our lives is his power and authority, because his kingdom dominion is power, might, and strength. And there is nothing that can stand against God and nothing that can stand against you. There is nothing that can prosper against you as you live in the rest, as you live in Christ, as you live in the Spirit, because his power and authority is greater than any other thing the enemy might throw at you, life might chuck at you, all that kind of stuff. Man, I believe God's saying, come on, rise up as a church, rise up as an individual, rise up as a family, rise up with your people, as a person of rest, but as a person of kingdom dominion. Don't take no for an answer. Don't take the status quo as the way that we've got to live. Don't take the news reports out there, that's the way things are going. No, God has called the church to be on earth, to change things, to transform things, and to see a tide turning as God reveals who he is. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand, shall we, a little bit confident, a little bit boldly in who we are in him. You're a kingdom person. You're a kingdom, a person with his kingdom dominion on the inside of you. You're not under the power of darkness any longer. That has been broken over your life. If you don't know Jesus today, you never had an encounter with him, you've never met him, then that influence is still at work in your life. The power of darkness impacts your life. And God wants to bring you out of that and into his kingdom life, into forgiveness, into freedom, into the stuff we've been talking about this morning. If you're already born again, you are living in his kingdom. But he wants you to have that revelation, that deep-seated revelation, understanding who you are, what it means to be with, have kingdom authority and move in that and operate that now, in the now, the today of who you are in him. Sometimes we have to have this rising up on the inside. I'm not taking that in my life any longer. So I'm moving out. I'm trying to deal with that in my own self, in my own strength. I'm surrendering afresh to who I am as a kingdom person in Christ. As a person of his dominion, his rule, his reign, his authority, his power. So that sickness has been going around my life for a while now. I am not putting up with you any longer. That's not part of God's kingdom dominion in my life. That scenario happening in my family, today is the day that it finishes. I'm not letting that overcome me any longer. So I take authority over whatever it is. I bind that now and you stop. In Jesus' name, that issue with one of my kids, that situation in my marriage, that circumstance going on around my life now, I'm not having you any longer because I'm a kingdom dominion person. And so I come against that right now and it stops today. That circumstance in my workplace, I'm not coming under that any longer. I come against that in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, command it to stop right now. Whatever negativity is going on around your life at this moment, whatever whirlwind is trying to take your attention and capture your thinking and heart and attitude. I'm not having that. I'm not living in that. I'm a kingdom dominion person. And so I don't rise up in myself, but I rise up in the rest of who God is on the inside of me. It's about living in the control of God, the hand of God. God's control is freeing and liberating. When we're controlled by the Spirit of God, it's a liberating, freeing thing. It's not an... The control of the enemy is over us, whereas God's control is in us and at work through us. And we surrender to him because God will never do anything against your will. But as you constantly in that moment by moment, surrendering your will to him moment by moment, God, I surrender afresh right now. When you get home, oh God, I surrender afresh now. So you get a phone call, in the middle of it, I surrender. Somebody's giving you some bad news or a challenging circumstance or there's a rumor going round about or something, whatever it is. But I choose to submit right now. I'm not going to rise up, not going to move to self, not going to get upset, not going to get angry, not going to take offense, not going to do this, not going to do that. Or you get news from a family member, somebody's sick, I'm not going to go into fear and anxiety. Right, at this moment, Father, I thank you that in you there's the answer. Father, I thank you that in you there's the breakthrough. Thank you that in you there's the way through this to come out the other side with a great testimony of who you are, how faithful you are, how amazing you are. Because I'm not moved by circumstances, I'm moved by your word, what you say, and what you want to do. We look at society, we're not going to be moved by what's going on in society. Instead, things move in society because of how we move in the things of God. God has called the church to be a dominion people on earth, and therefore we should impact and influence things because of the way the church moves with God and in the things of God. So the church needs to move things because God is moving in the church. That we're not moved by the world, but the world is moved because of what God is doing in and amongst and through the church. So, Father, we thank you that this week is a week of your movement in our lives, a week of movement in our workplace, a week of movement in our homes, a week of movement in our lives, in this community, in Horsham and beyond, the 25-mile radius and further afield. Father, we thank you that this is a week of heaven on earth. It's God movement, your kingdom dominion at work today, this week in our lives. Father, I praise your name for a church rising up in your kingdom dominion, your rule and reign, your authority, your overcoming life. Addictions broken in Jesus' name. Addictions broken in Jesus' name. Cycles of behavior broken in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you for a kingdom mindset, which is an overcoming mindset. It's a victorious mindset. It's not one governed by emotions, but it's one led by your spirit, because it's the word fueling and revealing what your will is, what you say, that then determines how we respond and what's going on in us as a result. So, Father, I speak your goodness. I speak your well-being. I speak your abundance over every person here. Father, I thank you for a fresh release of your grace today that enables us to live and move in you and have our being in you. Father, I thank you for that fresh release of your Holy Spirit today that empowers every one of us to live in you today, to live in your fullness, to live in abundance, to live as a victor, to live as an overcomer. Father, I thank you for overcomers in this room, hundreds of overcomers in this room, Father, that are moving by your Spirit, know who they are in Christ, living in their inheritance of the authority and the power that is at work in us right now, today, because of who you are, that you're alive, you're at work, you're moving. And I thank you, you're alive and you are moving in me and moving in us, working in us and through us. Father, we praise your name that this is going to be a good week. It's going to be a great week in our lives. Father, we praise your name. We praise your name. Let's give God a great shout of victory. Praise in our lives. Father, we praise your name. You're awesome. You're mighty. You're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Just turn to somebody next to you. Say, you look a lot more victorious now than you did half an hour ago. Brilliant. Well, bless you guys. Have a great week. Just one bit of news for you all. You know, Joe and Jess, our eldest son and daughter-in-law, they're going to have a baby. And so, due at the beginning of June next year. So, no jokes about granddad, grandma, all that kind of stuff, all right? Or anything. So, all right. Brilliant. So we've been celebrating with him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.